Blog Talk Radio.
And hello and welcome back to the End Zone this week. I am your host, of course, Jeremy York, joined once again by the coach. How you doing this week, coach?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. Do want to give a shout out to where we were Thursday night. We were able to go check out the draft and some draft events, thanks to some other places we can't mention. But we were at Dave & Buster's in Marietta. They were great hosts. And actually, Reggie Walker from our Falcon Zone show was also able to join us, and we had a really good time answering a lot of people's questions. It was good to meet everybody.
Absolutely. It was. I was ecstatic about getting the opportunity to meet Chuck Smith and being around. We were sitting in the media section, mm-hmm. so it gave us the opportunity to kind of see people up close and personal.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited about what was taking place as it was taking place, and more importantly, seeing how the fans reacted to their teams picking their draft picks.
Exactly, because the room was kind of, there was some Cowboys, some Browns, you know, but pretty much the room was, I would say, 40% Falcons, 40% 49ers. They show up well over in this area.
They did.
And they are loud, and it was some good discussions.
Absolutely.
Absolutely for those discussions. But, as you said, we were able to meet Mr. Chuck Smith of Falcon alumni status, and, of course, he's on some other media ventures as well. And also, former tight end, Harper LaBelle, was there as well. It was great getting to meet both those guys. If you're a Falcons fan, at least as old as I am, you remember these guys, and they were on one heck of a team back in the day.
Absolutely.
But, it is, speaking of the draft, so much happened. I know I was able to catch a lot of the draft. I lost a lot of sleep trying to keep up with a lot of the draft. But really, today we just want to kind of hit the some of the main perks of it, some of the bigger picks that happened. Kind of go over the first round and kind of let everybody know what we thought, if somebody was reaching, if this was, you know, why a pick may have happened. We'll go over some of our favorites as well, and we'll actually hit on some Michael Sam down the road, because he's got a lot of things going. That young man's got a big future in front of him if he can handle it the right way.
Absolutely. That, you know, we spoke in some episodes before about him coming out and the courage that it took. Now here comes the journey on the road.
Exactly. But, we do want to kind of go over we'll go through the as much of the first round as we can. We'll try to keep it kind of limited right before we get in them, you know, right before the commercial break and everything. But, you know, just overall, we'll just start running down some of these picks.
Okay, let's start with Houston and taking the first pick and Clowney being the pick. I think for Houston that was a great pick for them. It was a safe pick. You have to be wise enough, and their general manager did a great job of saying, hey, I had to take the best player in the draft. It gave them an opportunity to get better on defense with having Watts on one side, now adding Clowney to the other side. If Watts gets hurt, you still have a premier guy that's coming off the edge, so it was a good pick for them. Round two, second pick, we had Greg Robinson, mm-hmm. out of Auburn. That was a very good pick for St. Louis. Bradford had he ran around a lot last year. They offered a great picking him being an offensive tackle, so that was good for them. Jacksonville was up next on the board. They took Blake Bortles out of UCF, and I was real high on him,
right,
if you remember, before the draft even came out. He's homegrown. He's right there in Florida. He has a great support mm-hmm. system around him. Jacksonville does not have to be in a rush with this guy. He has time to develop. He has time to help turn that organization around.
Well, I mean, he's got Chad Henne in front of him, so, I mean, you know, we'll talk more on the Jaguar show about this, but, you know, to me, This was their guy all along, and the only way that they would have picked differently is maybe if Clowney's still on the board.
Absolutely. Moving on to Buffalo, taking Sammy Watkins from Clemson. Great move for them. They needed a receiver that could get vertical for them, for their quarterback. They needed that desperately, so that was a great pick for them. At the fifth pick, we had Oakland taking Khalil Mack. Now, I thought that that was a stretch, being that they got rid of their quarterbacks. They have a quarterback issue there. I think that they should have looked quarterback, but for whatever the reason was, they felt that they needed to go defense, and Reggie McKenzie, being a defensive guy, went that direction.
Well, and did they maybe make this, and we're not saying that Khalil Mack was not the best player. Are they guilty at this point of what we call the reach for the simple fact that, you know, the same reason Clowney was taken number one. This was just the best guy on the board, and overall he's going to rate higher than the quarterbacks that were left.
And that could have been the case, but the question now is how do you answer your quarterback issue? Mm-hmm. So now, unless your defense is going to start scoring points like Baltimore did back during the time of Ray Lewis,
right,
and you can count on them for at least a touchdown and a safety or 10 points right. plus a game, then it's going to be interesting how it turns out. At the sixth pick, we had Atlanta. Atlanta most definitely did a great job in taking Jake Matthews, in my opinion. The reason why I say that is because of his pedigree, A. B, due to the fact that they needed an offensive tackle. They're not quite sure. I think in the offseason they did a great job with some acquisitions, but now they've answered it for the future. So
right.
Jake Matthews was that pick for them. As we move on, we go to Tampa Bay. We have Mike Evans, the receiver out of Texas A&M. I think that was a very good pick for them. But the question must still be answered, what are they going to do at quarterback? Because now that you have the receiver that can get vertical for you, who's going to get him the ball? So that's going to be kind of interesting down there to see
right.
what Coach Lovie Smith does with that. Cleveland, we have Justin Gilbert, out of the cornerback out of Oklahoma State. I'm not quite sure how that's going to fit for them. I think they probably need to go defense, but I guess the safe place to go is a corner or secondary, because that's kind of hard to find.
Right.
So they went that direction. Minnesota goes with Anthony Barr from UCLA. I think they did that because of the defensive end that they had. He's going to kind of be that hybrid guy for them, so he kind of replaces there.
Right. He's like, and not saying these two are related, but he's the new Jared Allen. And, you know, actually you went 7-for-7, I believe, in predicting these picks before they happened, which is very rare. Nobody else in the room was anywhere close to this. But, you know, you were doing a good job of predicting it. Cleveland threw the wrench in there with the cornerback, but – you know, we were discussing this, Mr. Walker, me and you, right as it come up, and with about 2 minutes left on the clock, I looked up and I said, didn't Jared Allen sign elsewhere? And when you guys said, yeah, he did, I feel like they're going linebacker. So I was happy to say this was one of the, like, three picks I got all day. But, yeah, he could very much be that impact guy down the road.
Right. Let's move on to Detroit. Detroit took a tight end out of North Carolina, Eric Ebron. Now, I think this was a good move for them, because they do need someone else to take pressure off of Calvin Johnson up there. I think now they get the mismatch that they're looking for, and they can kind of move Mr. Johnson around now. He's not going to be just on one side of the field or the wide side of the field without having help that you have to answer for. So good move by Detroit. Tennessee, they went with Tyler Lewan out of Michigan. I don't know how that's going to fit. I think he could have taken anything. I think
they need so many loose ends and pieces right now, and it's not that they're in shambles or anything. They got a lot of good things going in Tennessee, but – yeah, I felt like there were other answers on the board they could have pursued.
Right. Moving now to the 12th pick overall, we're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. out of LSU. I spoke of him as well. I think this helps Cruz a lot. This helps Manning a lot mm-hmm. in New York, so that was a great pick for them.
He doesn't have a lot of drops,
right?
which seemed to be the problem in New York last year. I think Eli is very excited to have this guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Now, at the 13th pick, we had St. Louis take Aaron Donald, the defensive tackle, out of Pittsburgh. Now, with that particular situation, I thought that might have been a little stretch. I think they're okay defensively. I think they probably should have gone offensively, maybe with an offensive guard or a tackle, or even a center, something
right.
on the offensive line.
Well, because at number two, they had already took Greg Robinson, offensive tackle, so maybe they felt like we don't need two offensive guys. Maybe they decided to go defensive, and Aaron Donald just happened to be sitting there, but – yeah, I see that was a little bit of a stretch. They could have even traded down, picked up a few more picks, and still gotten him, I believe.
Right. Chicago goes Kyle Fuller, the cornerback out of Virginia Tech. I think at that point in time, Chicago probably needs to go secondary now. They've had some things up front to work with them. Their defense is pretty good, but they really didn't have a lot in their secondary, so that was a good pick for them. Pittsburgh goes with the offensive linebacker. The outside linebacker out of Ohio State, Ryan Shazier. And so now
right.
that particular pick was a very good pick for them as well. They need some things there to help protect against the run, so that's going to help them out. Dallas, I thought, kind of went for a stretch. They went with Zach Martin, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. I don't know if they needed something offensively as much as they needed some things defensively.
Right.
So that's going to be kind of interesting to see what Mr. Jones does with that particular pick. You know, again, they need a few things there, but I don't think that was one of those picks that they were – I think they went for the best available versus what the needs were. They went for a want versus a need.
Right. You know, like we were saying before we come on air, I almost feel like maybe they panicked there. Like they were thinking, Manziel, oh, if he falls, oh, if he falls, oh, if he falls. And we'll get into where Johnny Football ended up. But, you know, oh, if he falls to us at 16, at 16, if we get him, if we, and all of a sudden they get up there, he's still on the board. I feel like they said, we cannot take him. That we cannot take him. So, I mean, they almost panicked to a point where they just looked across at the board and realized that the to take at that point, they just, you know, looked around their draft board and they just happened to like him for some reason.
Right. Baltimore goes with C.J. Mosley. I thought that was a very good pick for Baltimore. They needed a linebacker. They need someone else to bring that energy like Mr. Lewis did. I think that's a place that the void now has been filled. We'll wait and see what comes of his career there. New York Jets comes back with Calvin Pryor, the free safety out of Louisville. They needed something. They lost Revis. They needed something to come back to help them in the secondary. Building around a young man like that will help them, along with some other things that they have over there. Miami went with an offensive tackle out of Tennessee. That was perfect for them after what they lost.
Right.
So they needed to go offensive tackle, and they went after the need versus the want. So that was a good move for them as well. New Orleans went after the wide receiver, Brandon Cooks.
You know, they traded up to get him.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Now, I think they have something with Graham there. Maybe they want to become more of a vertical team this year. They're getting some speed there because he played at Oregon State, so it's going to be interesting to see what comes of that as well. I think he's a good receiver. How well he adjusts and how fast they can put him in the mix is going to be the question now.
Right.
Moving on to Green Bay. Green Bay. All right. This is where, you know, it touches my heart, where we ended up with Clint Dixon. I think we needed to go defense. If you remember me earlier speaking of some things that needed to happen in Green Bay, I think they were also looking at C.J. Mosley at the linebacker spot. But we most definitely needed to pick it up in the secondary. We had trouble with it last year.
Oh, absolutely.
And now I think Ha can answer that for us there in Green Bay. Now, the key is keeping him healthy, adjusting to the weather, adjusting to all those things. And what I noticed about Alabama players is that they've played a lot of extended seasons. Like LSU, they're very physical football teams and have very physical football players. A lot of demand is placed on them. So if he can stay healthy, I think he'll be a very big impact there in Green Bay.
Right.
Now we're moving down to
Get out of Green Bay, I know you can't divert some of the things you may have known that the rest of us may not have, for whatever reasons those may be. We all have our sources. But at the time when that pick came up, you didn't really announce, I would say, but you kind of hinted towards maybe there was a couple other people on their list that were taken prior to that, so it made them have to rethink their strategy.
Right. You know, each team puts together a board of about five, if not seven, players that when they go into the first round that they're really targeted. And then at that point, it becomes a shift. They literally shift around based on the needs, next best needs, and why. So getting Clinton Dix, I think, was a very good pick. And they wanted an Alabama connection. So that was kind of one of the things that was hinted about. But I think this pick was the best pick. Mosley is a great pick, but this was the best pick for what they needed. Moving to the 22nd overall pick, we're now with Mr. Johnny Manziel, quarterback out of Texas A&M. Cleveland took him. Now, as we go back and look at the situation with Manziel, he wanted to go to Houston naturally, and he wanted to stay in Texas, so Dallas was the next spot. As we watched him, the one thing I talked about was his demeanor. Mm-hmm. If you notice, he was very antsy. He was nail-biting because at this point, that's a long drop, and there are a lot of teams that have needs for quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Oakland being one of those teams, Tampa Bay being one of those teams, Jacksonville. So he wasn't quite sure, but at that point, he just felt more comfortable going with Dallas. Now, I can't confirm this, but as we watched it, it looks like a call went into him mm-hmm. to let them know they were going in another direction.
Right, and from what I heard, from a source, that pretty credible source that I can't name for certain reasons, but said that from what he knew, that there was an actual call to Johnny Manziel that said, hey, we are considering you, and it was from Dallas, as far as I've heard. This is still, I guess, still hearsay because there's no concrete evidence I've seen, but that they did come in and say, hey, you're one of the two or three we're considering. Stay near your phone, just in case. But, you know, at the same time, they reiterated, don't put a lot of faith into it. You know, it is what it is, but, you know, you are one of the three. So apparently they called the two or three they were looking at, the guy they took in and Zach Martin. They called Johnny Manziel, and they may have called a third guy just to go, we're not sure which way we want to go yet.
Right.
And it could have been Jerry asking somebody else's opinion, or it could have been Jerry had the final vote and maybe he was in the restroom. You never know what was going on at that point.
Right, right. Now, Kansas City got a great pick in D Ford, in my opinion. I think he was a steal for them. They have a very good defense over there now. They have Coach Andy Reid. He's re-energized that organization over there. So that was a great pick for them.
Right, and I think as soon as he was off the board, because you know, we were in transit during part of this and we were able to miss part of it, but I was able to catch that D Ford pick. As soon as that happened, my phone lit up with Falcons people going, they took our guy, they took our guy. And I said, at this point, I don't see Atlanta moving back into the first round. And it ended up holding true.
Right, and that was something that was quite interesting with what took place there.
Right.
We're back with Cincinnati with the 24th overall pick with Darquez Denard, the cornerback out of Michigan State. I think that was pretty good for them. Again, they're trying to build their secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So being that their coach is a secondary guy and defensive guy, that was a very good pick for them.
Oh, absolutely.
San Diego goes with Jason Verrett, cornerback out of TCU. I don't know how that's going to fit yet. It's still iffy. That might have been a stretch for them. In my opinion.
In the last few years, San Diego, they're kind of like the Patriots sometimes. Sometimes you look at their picks and go, that's home run out of the gate. And then sometimes you look and go, let me give this a chance. It's almost like making dinner sometimes. Sometimes you know it's a home run, it's going to be great, and sometimes you're like, let me just let this sit in the pan. Let's just see what becomes of this. You know, when they picked Manti Te'o last year, everybody looked and went, I don't know. And then everybody got excited about him. He ended up getting hurt. We haven't seen that play out yet. I think Jason Verrett's another one of those guys. When we see it play out, we can judge from that point.
So very true. Philadelphia goes with the 26th overall pick with Marcus Smith, outside linebacker for Louisville. I think that's a good pick for them. They needed some defensive help. So that they defense, and that was great. Arizona is up next on the board with the 27th overall pick with D1. Buchanan, a strong safety from Washington State. Again, that's going to help them secondary, right? They got the Honey Badge over there.
Absolutely.
They already have the pass rush up front with Abraham. A lot of those guys, they got a young front line. So now it's just time to build secondary. Mm-hmm. I think Arizona just got that much better now in their secondary.
And a lot of our local audience, we'll talk more about this on the Falcon Zone later, but a lot of our local audience will get a good look at this defense as they will be visiting the Georgia Dome just a little bit later in this year.
All right. Moving on to the 28th overall pick, we have Carolina with Kevin Benjamin, the wide receiver from Florida. I think that's a very good pick for them. They did not have anybody after losing Steve Smith. They need a young, big, vertical body that can get downfield. He kind of reminds me of T.O., so he's going to be that kind of player. The question is where will it fall with the consistency versus the inconsistency that I saw on tape with him at Florida State. So that's still a great pick for him. But now they got to get him up to speed very, very fast.
Right, and you actually like this guy. You talked about him a lot. Like, he's still on the board. It'd be surprising to see where he goes.
Right. 29th, we have New England with Dominique Easley, the defensive tackle from Florida. They're going to do something with him. Remember I told you the secret to the Patriots organization is always having a player that is a dual player.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever else he played maybe in high school, you're going to have to go back and dig and see.
He might be a long snapper. He might have even been a linebacker in a set.
Absolutely. So it's going to be amazing to see what they do with this particular pick and this particular player. But trust me, he has another ability, is why they thought highly of him and pulled him out of the stack early. At the 30th pick, we have San Francisco with Jimmy Ward, a strong safety from Northern Illinois. I don't know how that's going to play into it all. I think they do need secondary help. I don't know how he fits into that. But we're going to see, and one thing is for sure, he's going to have to be a very physical guy. I'm sure they went after this guy as being a physical guy. And we'll see what training camp holds for him. So I'm waiting to see what that particular player is going to look like. At the 31st pick, we have Denver with Bradley Roby, the cornerback out of Ohio State. I think that was a good pick for them. You have a Champ Bailey there.
Right.
He's aging.
Why should they let him go?
He's out. So that would mean explain their pick as to why they went young and had to go there quickly. And with the last pick in the first round, the trade went back up, and Minnesota goes and gets Teddy Bridgewater. So that was an epic moment for him. He deserved it. They needed a quarterback. I said earlier in previous shows that he probably was the quarterback that I felt going into the draft that was more football IQ ready for the NFL. So now Minnesota can go in with a smaller learning curve as far as the language, and they'll allow him to go in and just work on his mechanics, settling down, and get him ready to play. Having a great running back behind him is going to help him tremendously.
Oh, absolutely.
So look out for Minnesota a little bit this year. I think they're going to make some noise.
Oh, I think they will. I think, I mean, how much noise, we won't know. But, you know, I was saying before we came on today that when I saw that Minnesota had, because I was almost about to turn the draft off. I was like, all right, one more pick. That's good. You know, had some other stuff to work on for the show and everything. And then all of a sudden, there's a trade. Ears and eyes perk up. Who just moved back in? Minnesota comes up and, to me, gives a fitting ending to the first round. Bridgewater is one of those good story guys. He's you know, like you said, he's ready. He's one of those guys that works on a few mechanics. He'll be good to go. We won't have to, you know, we won't have to worry about that. But, you know, that does complete the first round as far as the way we felt about it. We're right up against the break, so we're going to have to jump into that. I see a few of you guys lining up. We're going to take a call or two on the other side of the break. And also on the other side of the break, we get into Michael Sam and all the opportunities that have been presented to him, as we've heard. Cleveland locks up another long-term guy. We talk about the trouble in Carolina that doesn't involve a wide receiver. And a few quick news and notes about one team that is already, they're already secure in their future, I believe. But, like I said, that will be on the other side of the break. But for now, we'll see you guys in a few seconds.
Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we are back. As always, make sure to support all of our good friends and family as they allow us to do this each and every week and as much fun as we have. Make sure to go support them and let us know and let them know how much you appreciate it. But do want to take a few quick calls real quick right before we jump into some of the news and notes around the league. Hello, you're in the end zone.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Coach Hill. This is Reggie, your friendly neighborhood caller.
How are you, Reggie?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing pretty good.
Hey, I wanted to speak on a couple of things. I heard Coach Hill's analysis of the draft. I was a bit surprised, and I'll go back down to, first of all, Dominique Easley, I think his name is, out of Florida. I was a bit surprised that they took this guy that early. I wanted to ask Coach Hill what he thought about this guy's injury history, because I know we've talked about that a lot. And the other thing I wanted to get Coach Hill's thoughts on was about Kevin Benjamin. We've often talked a lot about him at Carolina. I know Carolina took him. Would not Marcus Lee not have been the guy that they would take over Kevin Benjamin? I mean, considering the fact that this, you know, Kevin Benjamin is a little unpolished, and Marcus Lee, is a guy that's ready to go right away. So I wanted to get Coach Hill's thoughts on that.
Well, let's start backing up with the New England pick with Dominique Easley. Yes, there are some injuries there, but I don't think he has to immediately plug just because they have the duality of a lot of players there. I think that they bringing him aboard to see where they want to fit him in their system is what's going to be the biggest key and the time factor. So I think he's a pick down the stretch for them that they'll use throughout the year. I don't think he has to come in and be an impact player for them right now. But, again, he's going to play a role. Going back to the Kevin Benjamin and the Carolina pick, I think they want to just go big. I think they just simply want to go with a big physical guy. Again, the other guy probably is more ready. But, again, Carolina felt something. It was something that they saw in Benjamin that maybe fits their system. You know, Coach Shula is there, a former player of mine, Coach Lance Taylor, is the actual receivers coach, and I'm going to reach out to him. And now that the draft is over, I'm sure he can loosen himself a little bit as to what their thought process was behind Mr. Benjamin.
Right. Okay. Okay. I was just wondering about that. I will also say that I think Minnesota got one of the steals of the draft. I know we've talked a lot about the quarterback situation. I just think there's something about Teddy Bridgewater that is very exciting. There's something in the look in his eye that just tells me that they may have just finally found a quarterback that can at least sustain for at least 5 years for those guys. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next week in rookie camp.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. He's a very special individual. And, Reggie, we do appreciate you calling in, and we'll talk to you here in a few minutes about some Falcon stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
And we'll try to take one more call before we get out of here. You're in the end zone. Go ahead. Well, we'll try to run through these last news and notes real quick in our last few seconds here. Some quick news and notes. We'll talk more on Michael Sam, but he was selected in the seventh round, 249th overall by St. Louis. Oprah's going to give him a reality show based off of everything there. I believe that could be really great for everything. Joe Hayden signed a 5-year, $68 million extension with the Cleveland Browns. He's their cornerback and their defensive captain. Panthers' Greg Hardy, defensive end, was arrested for assault and threat charges on his girlfriend. This could be a league thing if they don't clean it up real quick. The Bears assigned all 8 draft picks as of 11:30 this morning. A lot of people ask if Jimmy Garoppolo is the heir to the New England throne with Brady possibly only having 2 or 3 years to go. It's way too early to try to come up with something like that.
Absolutely.
And there was a rumor that was confirmed that the Browns offered a 4th-round pick at one point to Washington for Kirk Cousins, but when that fell through, they went and grabbed Johnny Football.
Yet to be seen.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what he does.
Definitely so. But for Coach Haywood Hill, appreciate you joining us once again.
Thank you for having me again, Jeremy.
And we'll see you guys next week.